You are listening to the Stetson Students Podcast, where we post all of the series and messages from our student ministry. We are a ministry connected to Stetson Baptist Church, where we are for DeLand and for Jesus. If you would like to learn anything more about our ministries, please check out our social medias or go to StetsonBaptistChurch.org. Sweet, sweet, sweet. Man, I changed hats because I feel like if I preached in a Santa hat, it'd be pretty distracting. I don't know, with the like flopping around. Hey, if you remember last week, we talked a lot about what it looks like to share the gospel and really the reason behind why we need to share the gospel and the importance that sharing the gospel as a Christian holds. Tonight, I wanted to kind of get into that a little bit. Before we do, I kind of want to start with two questions. I know you don't like to talk about school, but I am going to ask you about school. I'm very, very sorry. But I do want to know, what is your favorite subject in school, or what is your favorite class in school? Malachi, you're very excited. Math, you love math. Lindsay? Math, Bergen, huh? Dismissal. Your favorite class is when you leave. Okay, Michael, huh? Language arts. Wow. What language arts are you taking in sixth grade? ELA. Oh, okay. Is that like a, that was not okay? Hey, Rainey. Literature. Geography. Maddox. Bible, in the back. World history, okay, history buff. Yes, history as well. Culinary, okay, you cooking up stuff. What's your favorite thing? Is that cooking, culinary? Am I wrong? You're looking at me like I'm wrong. What is it? It is cooking? Okay, why'd you give me that look, Connor? It was like, you made me like self-conscious, like, oh, I'm wrong. What is your favorite thing to cook? Cookies? Oh, you should have made some cookies tonight, man. What's your secret recipe in your cookies? Oh, okay, yeah. Evie? Science? Ava? Science, cool. All right, well, what about this? Because sometimes I know the subject is really important, but I know maybe even more important than the subject is the teacher of the subject. So who's your favorite teacher that you've had? Malachi? Huh? No, not you. This Malachi. Miss Amanda, okay. Miss Carter, who about DHS right here, Cameron. Oh, nobody in DeLand? Who? Miss what? Leba, okay. Bethany in the back? Huh? Mr. Finkel? I love him just because of his name. That's awesome. Hey, Miss H? Does that stand for something? Is her name really... Hutchinson, Ava, Ava and Alice, Miss Wickstrom, yeah. Does anybody have a favorite teacher at DeLand High? No, nobody has a favorite teacher at DeLand High? Yeah? Huh? Did you raise your hand back there? Huh? Mrs. Sturving? Sturgeon? Like a surgeon? Like a fish? Like Sterling? What? What? Stir fry? Okay. Did somebody have, Mikey, did you have your hand up in the back? Did somebody have their hand up in the back? Oh, Cameron who? Miss Sniffin? Like, okay, I got that right. All right, Rayo. Okay, Mr. Kramer. There you go. Awesome. Well, hey, when I was growing up, obviously I did not grow up here, but I had what a woman named Miss Richardson, and she was my stats teacher. So, I mean, I don't know if you've taken stats. It's an awful class. If you're going to take stats, I'm sorry. You're just going to have to get through it. Maybe you really like math, and I know somebody said their favorite subject was math, but man, stats is just a different thing. It's a different world. My favorite thing about Miss Richardson, though, is that she didn't just teach us information, but she taught us why it was important and maybe how we should even get there. She kind of taught us the process. And I think that really comes to like maybe what makes a teacher your favorite. right? Like, they're not just kind of ushering information at you, throwing it at you, and then putting on a test and said, you know, well, it was in the PowerPoint, you should have learned it. And it, you know, you looked at it for like 5 seconds in class and then you moved on, but it's what the whole test is about. Y'all ever had those teachers? Man, they just make me mad, right? But man, what a favorite teacher, and what Ms. Richardson did for us was she really kind of made it understandable. She took this very complex and hard class, and she really made it fun. And she also made us understand, like, hey, I know it's hard, but we're going to get through this together, and I'm going to go at your speed, not my speed, but your speed. And I think really when you talk about any subject and you say this is important, or man, we really need to look at this, it's one thing just to kind of tell you that. It's another thing to kind of show you, man, here's why it's important and here's how we can do it, right? And so, man, that's what I want us to do tonight. So last week we talked about, man, sharing the gospel is important. This week I want us to look at, okay, how do we do it then? If it's an important thing that we should all do as Christians, well, that's great, Nate. How do I do that? All right, so hey, if you grab your Bibles, if you brought one, awesome. If not, there's one under your seat. We're going to be in Acts 1. Acts 1. It is in the New Testament, so it's going to be in the later half of your Bible. Again, the big numbers are the chapters, the little numbers are the verses. If you're having trouble getting to it, please use the table of contents in the front. I still use it sometimes myself. So we're going to be in Acts 1. You're looking for a big one, and we're going to be starting in verse 6. As you're flipping there, I'm going to give you a little bit of context as to where we're picking up at. Man, Acts is the start after the Gospels of Jesus. And really what Acts 1 is kind of showing, man, the end of Jesus's ministry. So we're really picking up already after Jesus has been born, after he has lived, after he has died, and after he has resurrected. And here we see this moment where he comes back to his followers after all of this has happened. So he has already kind of completed the miracle. He has already defeated death and risen from the grave. And then he comes to his disciples and he says this, all right? Starting in verse 6, Jesus says, "So when the disciples had come together, they asked Jesus, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?' And Jesus said to them, 'It is not for you to know times of seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the end of the earth.' And when he had said these things, they were looking on, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the heavens? This Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven.'" So, man, there's a lot here, but really what this is called is Jesus' ascension. Man, he has done all he has done, and he has come to the end, and he looks at his disciples. He has a conversation. It's recorded in the Gospels as well. And at the end, he leaves. He is taken into heaven. And what I see here is I believe that we see four practical advices of how we are to share the gospel in this short five verses, okay? So what I want to do is I want to walk us through those verse by verse a little bit as to what we see and how this can practically help us understand how to share the gospel, all right? So the first thing I think we see in these verses is that we need to trust God. We need to trust God. And in verse 6 and 7, we're not going to look at it, but I'm just going to tell you what's there. The disciples kind of ask him, "Lord, are you now going to kind of let Israel reign? Are you going to bring them back and restore authority to them?" And Jesus looks at me and he says, "It is not for you to know, but what is for you to know is that God has authority over it all. God is over it all. God is not surprised by anything, but he has full authority in everything." Man, let me tell you right here, when it comes to sharing the gospel, you yourself can save nobody. You can't save somebody yourself. You cannot bring somebody from death to life in Jesus. Only God can. Only God has the authority to do it. And so what we need to do and what we need to understand is we are to trust God's authority. And we need to understand when we go into these conversations and when we are sharing the gospel, or maybe even when we're maybe fearing sharing the gospel, we need to understand, man, we are only a tool to be used by God for this.
And it isn't up to us. We can't speak well enough. We can't use our words well enough. We can't tell the greatest story. We can't use the best analogy. We can't talk into somebody's life well enough for them to be saved. It is only by God and His authority that anybody comes to salvation in Him. I believe that in this, man, we can go one of two ways. We can kind of look at that and say, well, if God is going to say, if God has the authority to save anybody and He's going to do it anyways, I'm just going to leave it up to Him. I think that's an incorrect way to look at this. Instead, I think we need to be filled with a lot of peace and a lot of grace and a lot of peace, knowing that, man, if I go into a conversation sharing Jesus or sharing the gospel with somebody, it is all up to God. It is all up to God what happens at the fruition of this conversation. When it all ends, it's up to God to do what He's going to do. I'm only just a part of this puzzle. In other places in Scripture, Paul kind of puts it of, man, we can water a plant, we can do whatever we want to this plant, but we can't make it grow. It is only God who can make a soul be saved. He is the only one that can work in somebody's salvation. We are just tools. So trust God when you are having a conversation. When you finally go to share the gospel, understand we are to trust God that He has full authority over that conversation. From there, I think we need to do this. We need to embrace that we are not alone. We need to embrace that we're not alone. After this, after the disciples question Jesus, and Jesus kind of says, man, understand that you don't get to know these things, but God has authority over them all. He then says, and God is going to send His Holy Spirit into you. What this means is that, listen to me, if you are a Christian in this room, you have God's Spirit living inside of you. If you're a Christian in this room, you have God's Spirit living inside of you. It means you are never alone. That means any kind of conversation, whether it's a worldly conversation, conversations about things you shouldn't have, or if it's a gospel conversation, bringing the gospel to somebody, Jesus is literally with you. His Spirit is living inside of you. Just like how He has the authority to kind of transition a conversation, He can use anything that you have and bring somebody to attention for Himself. There's a story about a pastor that I can't remember his name, but he was kind of talking through. He just felt that he was preaching one morning and he just felt like, man, it was a bad sermon. He kind of walked away going, man, I just didn't feel my best. I feel like I left a lot on the table. I was stumbling over my words. I wasn't quick. My illustrations weren't hitting. Things like that of just, man, I just felt like it was a blessed sermon. And sometimes that happens. And he walked away from that and he was like, man, you know what? God, you know, better luck next week, right? I'll just get back up there next week and man, I'll try a little harder. I'll prepare a little better for next week. But what he didn't know is that sermon touched a lot of people's lives. And he had multiple people come up to him after the service or during the week saying, hey, I gave my life to Jesus because of what you said on Sunday. Hey, you might think, man, what I'm saying, it's just not working. I'm stumbling or I'm not using the right words. Man, I feel like this is a loss. And the Lord is over there in the other person using it to save them. That is because you are not alone. But Jesus is with you in those conversations. Jesus is working through you in those conversations. It isn't about us. We are beautiful tools that the Lord gets to use. But it's not about us. It's about Jesus using us to bring somebody from spiritual death to spiritual life. And we need to embrace that every conversation we go into, man, it's not Nate saying these things, but it's the Holy Spirit speaking through us, working towards somebody else's salvation, which is a beautiful thing that we get to be a part of. Man, so trust God that He has authority to do it all. Embrace that you are never alone, no matter the conversation that you're a part of, especially when you're bringing the gospel to somebody. And then learn to start where you are. Learn to start where you are. And this is such good advice for anything. This is such a good advice for anything. I heard it put this way, man, start where you are, not where you want to be. Man, anything and everything that you do, it's very easy for us to look at the goal that we have set before us. Man, I think the easiest kind of example or illustration to use in this is working out. Man, I'll tell you a personal example. I went and saw a movie called Creed 3. Anybody ever seen the Creeds? They're like a boxing movie. Man, they're so good. If you haven't seen it, maybe ask your parents before you do. But it's a boxing movie. And let me tell you, when it's a boxing movie, those guys are shredded. Like, I'm like, there's like 1% body fat, if that. And sometimes I remember walking out of Creed 3 and I was like, that guy is huge. I want to look like him. I want to look like him. So I started looking at like maybe his personal workouts and what he did to get there and like his weights that he was moving and how many sets he was doing, how many workouts he was doing per day. And it was very easy for me to kind of fall into, I'm going to do that. But the problem was I didn't look like him. I didn't lift as much as him. And so on day one, I was like, I can't do this. And it's because I started where I wanted to be, not where I was. And we need to understand when we are sharing the gospel, we need to understand, where am I in regards to sharing the gospel? As in, have I ever done it before? Have I ever shared the gospel with a single soul before? Man, have I shared it with people that I just know, or have I shared it with strangers? Have I shared it with my neighbors or my friends, or have I shared it to the waitress at the Mexican or the Mexican restaurant? Like, where am I in regards to how I've shared the gospel? Here, Jesus uses this. He says, after the Holy Spirit has entered you, you're going to be my witnesses. And he uses a specific order. He says, in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth of the world. And really what he was saying is, you're going to be my witnesses, first to those who you love, then to those who you know, then to really those who you don't even like, and then to everybody else. Man, that needs to be how we start with the gospel. We need to take this similar model. What that looks like for you most likely is, man, we need to start by sharing the gospel with our friends and our family. And we need to have spiritual conversations around our dinner table. We need to, man, it's Christmas. What a beautiful time that this holiday we're celebrating is all about Jesus. What a beautiful time for you to bring that to your family, saying, hey, can we do like maybe a Christmas devotion as a family? Bringing up spiritual things around your family and then your friends. Man, I know, listen, I've been in your seat. I know what your conversations are most likely like. I know Jesus is in very few of those conversations. What would it look like for you to bring Jesus into them? What would it look like for Jesus to take over your friendships? And then from there, so if that's those you love, what about those you know? Well, that moves to maybe your classmates. I know you have one to two more weeks of school. What would it look like for you to bring up the gospel to the person that sits next to you in class? What about your neighbors, the people that maybe you have a relationship with or you don't really talk to, the people on your street, whatever it looks like, the people that you know but don't really know? And then to those that you may not like. I know for me as an athlete, it was the rival schools that I was playing in basketball. And what would it look like to share the gospel with them, because I knew them? Now, what about the gossips, the ones that maybe have hurt me or stabbed me in the back? Well, guess what? They need the gospel just as much as we do. And then the bullies, man, what about those who really are hurting us and they don't want anything to do with us other than to hurt us? And they need the gospel just like we do. And then it goes to literally every person that we come in contact with. They need Jesus. But listen, if you have never shared the gospel, it's going to feel very lofty for me to say, hey, go share it with this random person on the street. We need to start where we are and be okay with that. And share it with those that you love, then share it with those that you know, then share it with those that you know but you don't really like, and then share it with those people that you don't know at all. But start where you are and then just continue to build that with you. All right? So trust in God, embrace that you're not alone, learn to start where you are, and then finally, let's go. Go and do it. Man, I think there's a beautiful picture as this passage ends that really represents a lot of us. Jesus ascends into the heavens. He has just kind of told his people, hey, you're going to be my witnesses and my spirit is going to be living in you. And as he ascends and he's gone, they just stand there and watch. They've just saw their friend. I understand, man, it's so magnificent. But they've just been told, now go and be a witness. And instead, they all just stand there, hands in pockets, just looking. Like, all right, well, that happened. Cool. Man, that's a picture of a lot of us. That's a picture of me. That's a picture of you. We've been given this truth. We've been given this great gift. Yet we just sit here with our hands in our pockets and we just watch and say, well, somebody else is going to do it. Man, just like they had people tell them to go, this is me telling you, go and do it now. Go and do it. It's time for us to take our faith serious, like we talked about last week, and go and share the gospel with those around us. Listen, Christianity is an act of faith. In other words, there is no such thing as an apathetic Christian. There's no such thing as a Christian who just stands here and does nothing. But what Jesus does when he enters our life is he turns us into a follower of him. And what he then looks at us and says is, go and be a witness for me. Now go and do the same. Hey, you have received this great gift. Now go give it to somebody else. I heard it put once, and I've said it before, the gospel came to you on its way to somebody else. The gospel came to you on its way to somebody else. That does not cheapen the fact that the gospel came to you. It just means now you have been brought into this mission alongside with everybody else, which is to now go and share it with somebody else. Go give somebody else this great gift, this cure that you have been given. Go give it to somebody else. I think sometimes when we hear that, we go, man, that's just to grow the faith or maybe to grow the church. That has nothing to do with it. What it is you're literally looking at somebody saying, you have eternal damnation, you have eternal death, but I have the key, and it's Jesus. And what you get in return by believing and following Jesus is eternal salvation. You get eternal life. Man, if you truly believe that, go and share that. Now, to make it easy for you to remember, you can kind of see maybe you can see there's a theme. If not, I've really put it for you right there. Trust God, embrace that you're not alone, learn to start where you are, and let's go. What that means is tell them about Jesus. Trust in God, embrace that you're not alone, learn to start where you are. Now let's go. Tell them about Jesus. As we close, man, I need to kind of hit here. Man, in order for you to share the news about Jesus, there's one thing that you have to do. You have to believe it. You have to believe that it's true. You have to believe in Jesus in order to share it. And so the question I end tonight with before we sing our Christmas hymn for the night is this. Do you believe it? Do you believe that we were sinners, that we were eternally separated from God after being created in perfection, and that we could not save ourselves, but Jesus came so that we could be saved? He lived the life that we all were supposed to. He died the death for the punishment that we all deserved, and he rose. And what he looks at you and me is he says, follow me. Follow me, and eternal life is yours. If you believe that, Man, your charge has already been given to you tonight. Go and tell the world about it. But if you have not believed in that, if that's not you today and you're saying, Nate, that sounds great, I want that, but I don't think I have it yet. Man, please come talk to me during the song. Come talk to one of our adult leaders. We would love to walk you through what that looks like. All right, hey, I'm going to pray for us. We're going to sing, remind me of the song.
Oh, Come All You Faithful.
Oh, Come All You Faithful.
We're going to sing it right this time.
Absolutely we are. And it's going to be a great, great night. So let me pray and let's sing, all right?
Thank you for listening. We hope you have a great week and that you are a light for Jesus. Grace and peace.